It's time to get In the Loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
We welcome everyone back. It's another week of In the Loop with LPS. It's the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools, and it is hard to believe that into November we go. And when you talk about November and into the fall, unfortunately, one of the negatives is the fact that it is into cold and flu season. We are joined by none other than Kathy Ellermeyer. She is the longtime LPS Director of Health Services. Kathy, thanks for joining us on short notice here on In the Loop. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Dallas. Thank you. Yes, thanks for that notice. And I'm ready, though. I'm ready to talk.
You're ready. And we had a chance to visit here. Gosh, we've known each other a long time. Back to the days when we were both over at Liberty High School, right across the hall from each other. You were stationed at the nurse's office there at LHS. And, of course, I was over at the broadcast studio. Where do the years go?
I know. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Those were fun days. They're still fun. But we are just carrying on. And 18 years later, here we are and carrying on with our LPS.
Tackling things one day at a time.
That's right.
Yes. How many years have you been the Director of Health Services now?
So this is my 18th year. In the middle of my 18th year.
I was telling you before we went on that, you know, we obviously do want to cover those important things for families and staff about cold and flu season and everything that goes with that and getting your flu shot. And I know we also want to cover some things about other things in the health world later on. But I always like to start by kind of this get to know the guest. And I thought we would have you start by just telling us about your health services journey, if you will. Were you interested in this field at a young age?
You know, I was interested in wellness at a young age, and so my first degree, my undergrad degree, was in exercise physiology. So I really enjoy wellness and all that entails, and love that part. It wasn't long after I was practicing as an exercise physiologist that I decided that nursing would be really challenging and really wonderful and a great career. And of course, my mom's a nurse, and so kind of runs in the family a little bit. And so I became a nurse quite a long time ago. I'm not going to say how many years, but it's been decades. And
I won't press you on that. No.
Thank you, Dallas. And so I started out as a neuro nurse. So my specialty is neurological things in the acute care setting, and I did that for quite some time. And then I got my master's degree in nursing as well, and started teaching at Rockhurst University and Research College of Nursing. Loved that a lot. And then my journey took me to Liberty Schools. And so I have, at that time, had three young children, and my husband and I have always lived in north of the river. So we've lived up in this area 35 years and just love this community so much. We loved Liberty Public Schools always when our kids were just starting out. And so when they were 5, 7, and 9 years old, I started working in the nurse offices, in each of the offices. And I quickly realized how much I loved school nursing and how I found it to be quite an advanced practice role, because those nurses that are in those offices are just all by themselves. We have our team to collaborate with, but they're making decisions each day without what we're used to in a hospital, a crash cart nearby or ambulance personnel right there on the on the property and all kinds of other resources and support like we would be in the hospital. And so I found that I just loved it. And it was also back in those days that they didn't have positions like mine. So there were other folks that were not nurses that were managing nurse teams, and there were other districts and many even today, sadly, around our country that don't have nurses in every building. In Liberty Schools, we have a proud, long-going yeah. tradition of support for nurses, school nurses in every school, and that has been at least a 30-year history of a nurse in every school. And that's super important because it means caring for kids. It means excellence for our learners and our community. And so it's just so wonderful, the investment that our school district has made in that. So at the time, they hired me 18 years ago to be the director of health services, the very first one. And it's just been a wonderful journey. So growing our department, I don't even remember how many. We didn't have so many schools at the yeah. time, you know. It's been a long time.
It has.
And so now we have 42 staff on our health services department, and they are just amazing, of course. But I just love getting to link arms, and we work together. We have such a strong team, a capable team, and one that I'm very proud of. Many of those nurses that I started back with in 2006 are still with me, and we've grown from that foundation and just become a department, because we weren't really a department before that. There wasn't someone like myself in that position, and so we just are very fortunate and love this work that we do yeah. and love the team that we have, and just being able to support kids to be successful in the classroom as they're learning. So it's a big job, and we love doing it.
Kathy Ellermeyer, just getting started with our conversation, kind enough to come by and join us as part of In the Loop with LPS. And Kathy, you talk about that team, a good, robust team of nurses now that make up your department. Talk about the experience that they bring to us. I'm sure it's an array of experience.
Yes. So that's what I love the most, is just the high level of expertise we have on our team, and not only from our nurses, but we also have health aides as well that mm-hmm. support our work. So we have 26 nurses that are licensed professional, registered nurses on our team. And we have 13 health aides, and they are in the buildings where the need is the highest. We just have a few buildings that don't have a health aide, but they're smaller schools with smaller populations. And so the majority of our schools, 13 of them have, of our 19 schools, have a health aide there. And so our nurses just come from all over as far as their areas of expertise. And so, for example, we have nurses that have long histories in pediatrics. We have obstetrics nurses that come from obstetrics, from ICU, from other critical care venues and departments. We have just a wide variety. We have neonatal intensive care nurses. We have children nurses that have been at pediatric hospitals, such as Children's Mercy. So we just have the gamut. We have quite a wide range, and it's very exciting because it's just we're able to draw on the expertise of yeah. each other when we need to resource and trying to figure out how we can best support families, and especially those families where there are students that have a high level of need and high medical care and things and real significant support and medical support needs that they have to be able to be successful at school. And we love to support that. That's what we're here for, is to care for each and every student. And we just really just love that. But I just can't emphasize enough just our team and the experience and the importance that brings, because we don't have a lot to deal with here, like materials. So like I mentioned, we're not in a hospital. We don't have an x-ray machine down the hall. We don't have a physician here to give us those orders to take an x-ray or any of that. So we bring our critical thinking, we bring our expertise, we bring all of the years of experience we've had in nursing and patient care to be able to deliver just a good result for our students, so that we're caring for them and so that we're honoring them in the best way in their health and supporting those needs. And also, most importantly, recognizing when something is an emergency. When is it an emergency? When can I send this child back to class? When does this student need to go home and see a doctor? But being able to decide what that is and what to do next is a result of all those years of experience and our critical thinking. And I'm telling you, it's just exciting to get to attract and retain such high quality nurses and health aides in our district, that we can make those decisions accurately and we can do the best for our community and for our families, so that we are supporting our kids. So that's a long-winded answer to that question.
It's a great answer.
You can tell I'm excited about our team and love to do this work.
Kathy, I know you're a humble person, so you're probably not going to like me for bringing this up, but a couple of years ago, you received a SOAR award, which is our employee recognition program, service over and above the rest. And it was basically a nomination from your entire nursing team. And I'll remember that day we presented you over in the boardroom. And I wanted to just bring that up because within this podcast, I'll try to glean information from our guests as far as kind of leadership styles and having success with leading a large team. And with you getting those nominations, you're obviously doing a whole lot right. And what I wanted to ask you is, Roy, what is your style and how do you look to lead?
Well, thank you, Dallas. That's a great question. And I would just point that back to our team again, because I'm a servant leader. Is probably, if you want my leadership style, it would be that of a servant leader. And what that means really is just linking arms with others in collaboration and support. And so our team and those nurses and health aides in those buildings, they are on the front lines. They are every day, and they are knocking it out, just doing such great care and performing such a lot of really delicate procedures, medical things that people have no idea what's going on in our district, and just the care that they provide. They need support in that, and they need somebody to bounce things off of. They need to make sure they've got the policies and procedures, the forms they need, just all kinds of things. And so I love to do whatever to help them be a success in their role and to thrive in that role. And I just love to support them in that way and just lead them with vision, of course, and where we see school nursing going and all of those things. That's part of it, and that's our role. And then I'm also joined by Chris Redman, the assistant director of school nurses, and she and I work together as servant leaders. It's her style as well to support our team, but we really like to link arms and just collaborate and support and care for our team. You know, we're caring for the whole person. They bring themselves, their families, you know, you don't just leave all of that at home when you come to work, you bring it with you. And so I like to know what's going on in their lives. And Chris is the same. And so we just have such an amazing, amazing team that way. So thankful. And that, I would say too, that SOAR award came at that was a really hard time for all of us. It was during the pandemic when that was presented to me, and it was, I can still remember the day because we were all, you know, things were changing several times a day. The CDC would come out with something different, or somebody would come out and we would have to react to it. And I just remember being so absolutely exhausted and so worn out and just to have that recognition for our team, because I felt like that was a team award and like a Go Health Services thing, like, go, you guys go, you're doing it.
Yeah.
That was just a gift that I can't articulate into words what that meant. So,
you know, you mentioned the pandemic, and I remember, I think I've mentioned this to you, and this was several years ago. I think I was in my position at the time, and I remember something came up. We were dealing with another situation, but you said, you mentioned the word pandemic, and you said, Dallas, I hope you and I never have to deal with a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward, I don't know how many years, but it was several years. Here comes COVID-19. What was that experience? You hit on it a little bit, but as we look back, and we'll probably talk about it more, just the fact of now we've shifted into the endemic portion of this. Mm-hmm. But what was that experience like for you leading the health services department? I cannot even imagine.
Yeah, that was it. There was a lot on our shoulders. It was heavy, but it was the success that came out of it. Was because of our leaders at the top level here in Liberty Schools. So none of us were alone in it. You were with us. Our top level leaders, our district cabinet, the superintendent, Dr. Tucker, and the board. I mean, they just so supportive. I feel like we were all linking arms together. And so I knew we weren't alone in it. We were a piece and probably a major player because of the nature of a pandemic is medical and health related. So we were a large player in that, health services was, but we were all linking arms together. So your aspect with communications and getting the correct messaging out, and just all in the district cabinet and the decisions that they had to make on which direction to go with the board and Dr. Tucker. And it was, so that piece of it was hard for all of us. Yes, it really was. But because we had such an amazing, this is such an incredible district and such an incredible team. Our building leaders, our building principals, and our operations folks, we all had to jump on board. And so because of that unity, I would say, it just, you know, there's nothing that can, you know, replace that.
You know, that's so interesting you mentioned. I have never given this a ton of thought, but you just saying it a moment ago, you know, in the middle of crisis, and that was a crisis, no doubt about it. And it was a crisis that continued and for months and months. Yeah. And I think we even would joke about it at times. But something that I think we took for granted is never internally within our district administration center was there real, you know, disagreements, or we all dug in and knew that we had to make this thing work and figure it out. Yeah. And again, as you said, I think it just started at the top with Dr. Tucker and Steve Anderson.
Yes.
and just right on down.
Absolutely. Yeah. Steve Anderson is the chief operations officer here for the district, but he's also my supervisor and he oversees health services as well as many operations departments. He has a lot under his umbrella, but just his leadership through and his expertise too in systems thinking and oh my goodness, just is amazing. So yeah, I would credit him to really spearheading our direction and our vision and the way we needed to go through COVID. I would attribute that to him.
I feel like too, looking back, and again, I think it's almost one of those, it's like, you just kind of want to move on.
Yes.
We all want to do that.
Yes.
I think when we get messages from frustrated patrons and parents, it's like, hey, I'm a parent too, and I want to be able to go to ball games, and I want to be able to go to concerts. And that was, I think, the biggest thing is, it's like, we're all feeling this.
Yes.
But looking back, I think the one thing that we can hang our hat on is we were consistent throughout with following the advice that was given to us from health professionals.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we did not make decisions in isolation, and we were really good about seeking those best practice, evidence-based practice that we knew. And of course, research was constantly happening, and continues with COVID. We still don't kind of have a complete handle, I think, as a world on where it's going, but I think they are getting a better handle on it. But yeah, absolutely.
Again, Kathy Ellermeyer, she is our Director of Health Services here in Liberty Public Schools, joining us on In the Loop with LPS this week. I definitely wanted to spend a few minutes talking to you as I opened up this program, mentioning that unfortunately cold and flu season is right upon us, and you were sharing with me, we're actually in it now as we enter the month of November. That, I'm sure, just increases the workload even more for you and your team. Could you give us an update, kind of where we're at with things right now? And I'm sure we'll talk about some preventative tips for families and students that might be listening.
Yeah, so every year we have cold and flu season, and this year is just, you know, the same with that. And we are just starting to see some influenza here in our area, in our Kansas City area. So we get reports from health departments such as the Clay County Public Health Center and from Kansas City, Missouri Health Department, because we are in both, our schools are in both of those jurisdictions. And so we have a strong partnership with those two health departments where we're able to get the latest information and trends on what's going in our area. So we are already receiving reports from Kansas City, Missouri Health Department about the cases of influenza and how many. And right now they're few. They're not a lot, but we are already seeing in our Kansas City area some, you know, positive influenza. And of course, they talk about last year, I believe the term was tripledemic. The endemic of COVID out of the pandemic, and now it's the thought that COVID is just going to be like the flu. It's going to, you know, just change every year, and it will mutate to where we have kind of a flu season every year. We're going to have the COVID season every year because the virus will mutate just like the flu does, and it kind of adapts and gets smart. And then the tripledemic endemic is just RSV added on to that. So respiratory syncytial virus. And so that is one also that can really create some havoc. So we are just there, you know, we haven't started seeing the next wave of a big COVID spike right now. It's laying, you know, there's COVID out there and there's cases, positive cases going on. But it's just the start of that season, so time will tell going into holidays. And, you know, from November through about February, that's when we see the bulk of these illnesses. So vaccination is important. Yeah. And taking care of, you know, hydration and eating well and resting and all of those things that we all need, students and adults alike, we all need those prevention types of things, and vaccination, of course, because you just don't want to get what's out there. It's yuck. If you can prevent it, get vaccinated.
I know that we've had some of those clinics for our staff here the last several weeks. I think a question that often comes up and has even come up in our house before is, of course, time can get away from you, and all of a sudden it's November, and it's like, is it too late to get a flu shot or vaccinated? What's that timeline really look like?
Well, as soon as you can, of course, because it takes a week or two once you are vaccinated to develop the the antibodies within in yourself to be protected. And so you got to give yourself a couple weeks leeway mm-hmm. before something, a big spike hits in influenza, RSV, or COVID. But it's never too late. And so just, you know, the sooner the better, of course. Now, I just got my flu shot and COVID shot last week. I got my booster, but I got them both on the same day and didn't have any issues. So I will vouch for getting both of them together. Mm-hmm. And like the commercial that Travis Kelce is doing right now, just get them both at the same time. Get it going, not in the same arm, of course, but same day. You know, it's not too late, and it's really imperative. And I'd say just go do it. Make time for that, for your kids and for yourself, because it will help you in the long run.
And all kinds of opportunities, even locally. And I noticed where Hy-Vee's offering rewards for going in and getting those knocked out. And so that's awesome to have that partnership within the community.
It is. So the health department, Clay County Public Health Center, you can make an appointment to get vaccinated there. You can go to CVS, Walgreens, Hy-Vee, and it's easy to sign up online and get your appointment and get in there, and you could do it as a family, and it's just really helpful because it will protect you. There's protection with that, and you can never go wrong with that. It's good.
Kathy, we're quickly coming down to the last few minutes here. I told you this 20 or 30 minutes would go fast.
That went quick.
It did. And something, though, and it is not deserved to be placed at the near the end of this podcast, certainly, but this fentanyl crisis and opioids and I have to take my hat off to you, because it's been something that you have certainly not wanted to be reactionary to. You want to be proactive. We had a great meeting a few weeks ago talking about ways to get the word out on this crisis. Could you just talk about kind of what you're hearing and maybe what we're going to look to try to do to thwart to do all we can to prevent another crisis within our community?
Absolutely. Thank you for just giving us a little time to talk about this, because it is so very important. And I would like to start, some folks listening may not even know what we're talking about. Like, what is that? I've not heard a lot of that. And I don't know what you're talking about. So what we are talking about is accidental overdoses and drug overdoses that are happening because there's alarming number. Most of the illicit drugs that can be purchased these days, and this includes Clay County. We're talking about Clay County here, certainly across the nation, but in Clay County, there are folks that if they want to get illegal drugs, they're getting onto Snapchat or some social media, and they're purchasing a pill that they think, well, I'm just going to buy a Percocet. I just want to get a Percocet, or I want to get a Xanax, or I want to buy Adderall. And they're getting these illegal drugs, and they're trusting somebody that they have no idea who it is to say, oh, don't worry, this is clean. This doesn't have any poison in it. This doesn't have any fentanyl in it. And they're buying that, and they're taking it, and they're dying, because it takes just a few grains of, you know, you pour salt on the table, and you just count just about 2 or 3 grains of salt, or a few grains, that's enough to kill you if your pill that you illegally purchased through some dealer online or in your community or God forbid, just anywhere here in our community, that's enough to kill you. And so it's just sad what some, you can just go online and see messages from parents by the hundreds and thousands out there in our nation that have had children and adolescents and young adults that they have lost to a drug overdose and fentanyl poisoning because their child got online and thought they wanted to just buy a Xanax or they just, you know, and it's just frightening.
It is.
It's heartbreaking. It's something that we know that is happening in our community. We have not had that occur during our school day, but we know of cases in our Northland where kids have had a drug overdose and they've died of a drug overdose in our Kansas City area by lots of them. And it's just very, very heartbreaking and very sad.
It is. And as I mentioned, we had a chance to connect with a handful or more folks up on our fourth floor at the DAC and talked about those preventative ways of getting this word out. And you were sharing with me just before we started this interview that that process is now rolling,
yes,
and the fact that we have some good resources now on our webpage.
We do. So first of all, it's just so important for those listening in just to talk to your kids, talk to one another, get the word out, and get on our district website in the safety and security link. On our district website under For Families, you can just go to For Families, Safety and Security, and you will see fentanyl and drug overdose resources. And there's videos, there's parent resources on there. There's a lot to look at, a lot to learn about, and you can't ever start too early. So if you have a child that's in kindergarten, start teaching them that it's never okay to take a pill from anyone other than you as a parent. That comes from a pharmacy that's a legitimate pill. Start talking to kids about how we manage our emotions and we help ourselves feel better, not through taking drugs or other things, but start working on that. You can never start too early with some of that elementary teaching on, and then of course, very important to talk to your teens and even college-minded students. Because this thing is just running really crazy right now.
Why don't, let's stay in contact. I think as we're just sitting here, this would certainly be not only a full podcast episode, maybe bring in some experts, probably be a multi-series topic as we continue to talk about the proactiveness of this, because I think that's the thing that comes up over and over is oftentimes with this, we're in react mode after a tragedy happens. And then everyone throws their arms up in the air wondering what we can do, whereas we do our best now to try to get ahead of this as much as possible.
Absolutely. Yes, I would love that. Would love to just continue to get the word out. And I know our educators and our curriculum, folks that develop curriculum are putting this into curriculum, but it just really starts at home with parents. It's just so important to continue to talk about that.
More to come, certainly, on that. But, Kathy, we've now gone over the half-hour mark, so that is our cue to wrap things up. But before I go, I know you and your team, you're so accessible. Just opportunities to connect with families if they would have any questions.
Yes, absolutely. And you can reach us on the website, on the LPS website. We have a health services link, and your school nurse is always your best fan and number one fan of yours as parents and community members, but you can always access them at the schools and on our website if you want to email or get in touch with us. We love to hear from you.
Kathy Ellermeyer, you're the best. We thank you for coming by, and we thank you for always looking out for our students and staff and trying your best to keep everyone healthy and
safe.
That's
right. Wash your hands.
There it is.
Do all those good things.
There it is. Kathy, thanks again
you.
For joining us, and have a great rest of the school year.
Thank you.
Kathy Ellermeyer joining us as part of In the Loop this week. We'll encourage you to stay tuned and join us again next week as we'll be joined by another amazing guest. My name is Dallas Ackerman saying so long, and you have been listening to In the Loop with LPS.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.